In my last message, I discussed civility and incivility. And I briefly touched on the concept of convicted civility. I mentioned that in our walk, we are to stand firm in the faith. We are to be courageous. We are to be strong. But we are to do that with civility. We strive to be civil, but yet truthful. In effect, it's more than civility that we are called to practice. It's called convicted civility. I pointed out that this concept that we need to be civil, but we need to have strong convictions. Having strong convictions is a matter of confidence. I like to read from an article entitled Acting on Conviction, How We Can Become More Confident by Brent Steenbarger from Forbes magazine, April 24th, 2016. To be sure, confidence can be overvalued to the point where we often prefer cockiness to genuine expertise. That exposes us to overconfidence bias. Still, confidence matters. Research suggests that self-confidence contributes to success, and success helps build confidence. What separates genuine confidence from mere bluster and bravado? I would argue that the confidence that we find enhancing is actually optimism, as applied to the self. The self-confident person is one who radiates optimism about future outcomes. Once we see the link between confidence and optimism, we can appreciate why confidence is important to success. Research links optimism to favorable health and emotional outcomes, including increased well-being and reduced stress. Siegelman's work on learned optimism, a counterpoint to his earlier work on learned helplessness, stresses that optimism comes from a way of thinking that promotes efficacy in the face of adversity. As Margie Worrell notes, confidence is based on a fundamental belief, the belief that one can succeed. Indeed, having strong convictions takes confidence. And in our society, confidence is under assault. I would like to read from you another article entitled Effects Society Has on Confidence by Monica Wilkes from Odyssey, May 9th, 2017. Why don't you have more confidence in yourself? You have nothing to worry about. Just be confident. Confident is the one trait that most people struggle to possess. It's an inner struggle that only you can really fix. And it's one of those things that is easier said than done. But when someone has confidence, they reveal an amazing side of themselves. So why would anybody hesitate to show their confidence? Because of the society we live in. And then the article goes on about the impact of social media, the likes and the dislikes, and the impact it has on people. But going back to the article, if you can't express yourself without getting some form of judgment, then why try anymore? If you don't get as many likes as your more popular friend does, then you're weird. And if you express your feelings on a post, people take offense to it. No wonder nobody has confidence in themselves. Even I got judged for writing one of my more popular articles for Odyssey. I was expressing my feelings in it, and as a result, a storm of a backlash hit me. That made me feel so insecure that I was scared to write another article. But then I realized, why should I let judgment from other people scare me out of doing something I love? I shouldn't. Don't let a silly number on Instagram get to you. Don't let other people stop you from doing what you want to do. Be confident in your work. Be confident in your whole self. If people want to judge, let them. Don't let it stop you from being the best that you can be. What stops us from being the best we can be? What stops us from being confident? Confidence is a popular subject today. We're told to think confidently, to be self-assured, maybe to even be brash or bold, even brazen. However, does the Bible agree with this positive thinking mantra? If the Bible teaches us to be confident, what should we be confident about? If the Bible does teaches us not to be confident, why not? For example, consider these questions. Is it wrong to be self-confident? Is having confidence the same as being arrogant? Is it wrong to believe that our efforts help us to succeed? Is it wrong to be optimistic about ourselves and what we are trying to accomplish? I believe that part of our challenge of dealing with the term confidence is that we confuse confidence with arrogance. An interesting comparison of the two terms is provided by Inc. It states, however, the key differentiator between the two is the foundation. Confidence is grounded in experience and expertise with a sense of respect and humility, whereas arrogance is grounded in nothing. It is unwarranted, baseless confidence with a lack of respect and humility. The word confidence in English embodies the ideas of having reliance on or trust in another or something. A different aspect of the term confidence is that of self-assuredness or boldness. In the Old Testament, the word for confidence is batach, and its kindred grammatical forms carry on the sense of putting one's trust in something or someone, then to be full of confidence or to feel safe. We can see this related word of batach in Isaiah 30, verse 15, if we would turn there. Isaiah 30, verse 15. And I would like to read from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 30, verse 15. Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord of the Holy One of Israel says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But you would have none of it. In the New Testament, the term is a common term that expresses confidence is parousia. And this term can portray free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. And we can see this Greek word used in 1 John 5, verse 14, if we would turn there. 1 John 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. It states in 1 John 5, verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So for today's message, I would like to explore the concept of confidence and what the Bible says about it. For those who like to have a title, it's a matter of confidence. It's a matter of confidence. I would like for us to explore briefly what we should be confident in and not confident in, and whether we should be people of confidence, and if so, how do we build confidence in our lives? The message is broken down in three components: confidence in God, confidence in others, and confidence in ourselves. So let's first discuss the importance of confidence in our relationship with God. Turn to Philippians 1, verse 3. Philippians 1, verse 3. Philippians 1, verse 3. It states in Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank God, my God, for upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can have confidence. We should have confidence in our relationship with God. The Greek word here for confidence is pitheo, which means to be persuaded, to believe, to trust, to have confidence. We can have confidence, each and every one of us, that God is there for us, and he will complete his work in us. But does that mean we won't face challenges, difficulties, or trial, that we get some form of exemption from that? No, but it doesn't mean he's not going to complete his work in us. Does that mean we won't make mistakes and stumble and fall? No, but it does mean that he will complete his work in us, and we can have confidence in that. And we can have confidence in our relationship with God. Turn to Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. It states in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The New International Version begins this verse as follows. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Our relationship with God, this is the basis of our confidence. In good times, in difficult times, God is there. There's no need to give up. There's no need to give up when we have fallen, for God does not give up on us, and we can be confident in that. It is interesting to note that Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown in its commentary noted that the word boldly can mean confidence or freedom of speech. We have confidence in our relationship with God, so much so that we can speak freely to God and let him know of our joys. Let him know of our concerns. Let him know of our troubles. Let him know of our successes. We can have confidence in our relationship with God. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35. It states in Hebrews 10, verse 35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. God has given us the gift of confidence in him. It is up to us to exercise it through his Spirit, through prayer, through studying the Word, through living a life acceptable to God, of serving one another, of looking out for people in our communities. It's a relationship we have with God, and we have to do our part to maintain it. It should also be noted that any confidence we place in others or in the things of this world must be based in our confidence in God. Is all about the relationship we have with God. Things of the world are uncertain. People are uncertain at times, but God is certain. Secondly, where does confidence fit within our relationship with one another? Turn to Psalms 118, verse 8. Where does confidence fit within our relationship with others? Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In these two verses in Psalms, David spoke from an experience, having been being betrayed many times by those close to him. And we can see that. If we go to Psalm 41, verse 9, we can see his reaction, why he reacts this way. Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. People will fail us at times. Maybe we fail others as well. However, we still should have confidence in people to varying degrees. Without confidence, without trust, a true and meaningful relationship is just not possible. A business cannot succeed without having some level of confidence in its employees. A relationship cannot succeed without trust. Members of God's family cannot succeed without the trust and confidence in one another. For example, we know in Galatians 6, verse 2, you don't need to turn there, it requires confidence to bear one another's burdens. Let's turn to James 5, verse 16. Would we want to bear our burdens if we weren't confident in the other person who's listening to them? Let's turn to James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The affectant, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It takes trust. It takes confidence to confess our shortcomings to one another. It takes confidence that in others, that in our sharing of these things that are very personal and very private, that they won't be used against us. Romans 12, verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Rejoicing with each other. This is where good news is to be shared. And then also in crying with each other, when sharing our innermost pain, when our hearts are broken, takes trust. Takes confidence. In those moments, we have to have the confidence in the other person that they will understand us. And likewise, when we're helping somebody, they have to have the confidence in us as well. Indeed, in this life, we are to rely on one another. God created us as relational beings. And part of that relationship, part of that godly relationship, is having confidence in one another, in confidence in others' abilities to help us meeting the challenges of this life. Turn to Proverbs 15, 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Having confidence in others is necessary in any number of human relationships, and it's especially important for the healthy functioning of the family of God. It's because we know that God will never fail us is why we can trust others. Our ultimate security is with God, so we have the freedom to have confidence in others. to trust others, and to experience the joy it brings. Finally, what about confidence in ourselves, of being self-confident? Certainly, we should never have confidence in ourselves, right? That's just arrogance. We know the heart is desperately wicked, and we're told that in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Turn to Philippians 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. We can have confidence in God, we can have confidence in others, but certainly we can't have any self-confidence. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship the God in spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Proverbs 14, verse 16. Proverbs 14, verse 16. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man, it states here, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Is Proverbs 14, verse 16 saying that any form of confidence, self-confidence, is wrong? That a person who self-doubts, that is self-effacing, is more righteous than the one who has confidence? Should we have any confidence in this life? Any confidence in our abilities? Let's turn to Proverbs 31, verse 16. Proverbs 31, verse 16. Proverbs 31, verse 16. Proverbs 31, verse 16. She goes to inspect a field and buys it, and with her earnings she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong and a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. In looking at these verses, I would say that the Proverbs 31 woman has a lot of confidence. She has the ability and the fortitude to consider and buy real estate. She is energetic and strong. She makes sure that her dealings are profitable, that she's confident enough in her abilities that she can do that. I would say the Proverbs 31 woman has a lot of abilities and the confidence to use them. Self-confidence can result in problems. We can set ourselves up for failure if we solely rely on our abilities, when we only have confidence in ourselves. The issue revolving around self-confidence is the source of our confidence. If we are confident based solely on our own abilities, we will ultimately find disappointment. But if our confidence is based on the foundation of God, we can also have confidence in the abilities we have through God. We can trust that He made us, each and every one, unique for a purpose, and that we live out this life and this purpose through His power and grace, and we can do so with confidence. Proverbs 3, verse 5. 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 Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. For the beginning of verse 5, the Douay Rheims Bible states, have confidence in the Lord. God will direct our paths, but we're the ones that have to do the walking. If we're taking a journey, we need to do our part. We need to have a relationship with God. We need to understand his plan. We need to understand his word. We need to be living a life of love and looking out for one another. And we can go forward with confidence in our life and the abilities that God has blessed us with. We can walk within this life knowing with confidence that we are unique for a purpose. And we can seek out to live this life knowing that our life, that our talents are a blessing from God. Absolutely, we have to put effort into it. But they're a blessing from God. We have our part. The key of having godly self-confidence is recognizing the source of confidence is God. If we're confident solely based on our own abilities, we will find disappointment. We will find arrogance. And we will find pride as a stumbling block along the way. Now, being on this journey doesn't mean we are a people who lack self-confidence. We have to be a people who lack self-confidence. That's not what God is expecting from us. Having a lack of self-confidence is not practicing humility. When we lack self-confidence, we can feel like we're at the mercy of other people. We're at the mercy of the situations we find ourselves in. And the extreme of it all is the victim mentality, that we have no control over the situation we face. But the victim mentality is an acquired trait, one which a person tends to recognize or to consider themselves as a victim of the negative actions of others. And behave as if it were the case, even in the face of contrary evidence of such circumstances. For those of us who lack confidence, it's easy to look around and assume that confident people don't have to deal with the same problems we do. But the truth is, now and then, everybody has their share of doubt. Everyone doubts themselves and their abilities at one time or another. Yes, everyone. And whether our lack of confidence is a chronic problem or a periodic occurrence, there are ways to deal with it. And I would like to go over at this time four ways that we can deal with confidence and build confidence. First, accept the fact that times we will experience failure. Accept the fact that at times we will experience failure. And thus we need to learn from the situation and move on. Accept the fact that times we will experience failure. We need to learn from the situation and move on. Many times people who lack confidence view failure as catastrophic. As such, they feel the need to avoid failure at all costs. Unfortunately, attempts to avoid failure often prevent success. Avoiding failure frequently means not attempting things that are challenging, that could help us to grow. It's not that successful people don't fail, they just don't identify it as failure. The concept of failure is constantly in their thoughts. When something doesn't work out as they planned, they evaluate the situation and they develop a plan, a new plan, to move forward. They learn lessons from their failures and they move on with their lives. They don't constantly dwell in the past and about their past failures, crippled by their past failures, afraid to move forward. They don't do that. They learn forward. Our walk is a journey full of ups and downs. In striving to do our best, to use our talents, we at times will fail along the way. The more challenges we take on, the more failures we will probably have. But learning from them, we can recover, get up, and push towards building confidence. The question we need to consider is, does failure overcome us, or do we overcome failure. In our spiritual lives, we have the gift of repentance, which allows us to move forward with our lives, knowing that God has forgiven us. We go forward. We recognize the problem. We make a change. We go before God and ask for forgiveness and ask for help to move forward. The same concept applies to our physical lives. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from our failures, and then we move on. And we do this knowing that we are part of something much greater than the here and now. Let's go back to what we read earlier, Philippians 1, verse 3. And I'd like to review this again in this context. Philippians 1, verse 3. Philippians 1, verse 3, verse through 6. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. At some time in our lives, we will fail. We will fail sometimes in our jobs. We will make mistakes being a parent. We will let others down, or we may be let down by others. We may stumble and fall with our relationship with God. It's a question with what we do with that failure. Do we make it a defining moment in our lives and learn from it? Or do we let failure define us and retreat from life? God has begun a great work in us, a good work in us. Are we moving forward with confidence? A second way to build confidence in our life is to surround ourselves with confident and uplifting people. A second way to build confidence in our life is to surround ourselves with confident and uplifting people. Turn to Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Second way to build confidence in our life is to surround ourselves with confident and uplifting people. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The impact on our lives of others cannot be understated. The Bible addresses the impact of others in our lives with various scriptures. Scriptures that address, don't be unequally yoked with others. Staying away from angry people. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 as well. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. States, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And I read from the New International Version, where it states again, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Who are our friends? Who do we associate with? What co-workers do we associate with? What we do in this area can have an impact on our confidence in what we do, how we think, and how we act. We need to be around people who encourage us to look out for our good, but who are honest with us as well. Honest enough to tell us when we're making a poor choice or a poor decision. When we associate with people like this, it will bring out our best. It will embolden our thinking. We can do more. We can be confident in what we do, more than we could do alone. And it aids us in living a life of confidence. Turn to Proverbs 27, 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, Now I'd like to read from the New Living Translation, if I may, Proverbs 27, verse 17. We're familiar with this scripture. It states in Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We all need to ask ourselves, is this scripture a reflection of those who we associate with? A third way to build confidence in our lives, avoid comparing ourselves with others. A third way to build confidence in our lives, avoid comparing ourselves with others. It can be dangerous to measure ourselves against others. What we see isn't always real, and making comparisons is damaging and an inaccurate measure of success anyways. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. It states, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Peter reminds us in Acts 10:34 that God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't show partiality. There is no favoritism with God. So when we compare ourselves with others, two things can happen. We can become arrogant about our own abilities. How much better we are than someone else. To be overconfident. On the other hand, we can also become unrealistically down upon ourselves when we compare ourselves to others. To destroy the confidence in the abilities that God has blessed us with. Either view is not profitable. Either view is not wise. We are all, everyone in this room, from young to old, are blessed with different talents. As Psalm 139:14 says, we are all, each one of us, fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made in the image of God. We should do the best with the talents we've been given and not be concerned how they compare with others. The fourth way to build confidence in our lives, don't confuse memory with facts. Don't confuse memory with facts. How many times have we had our confidence rattled because we jumped to a conclusion only to find that we didn't know all the facts or thought we had all the facts? We've seen it. And we, in reality, didn't hear a matter out. We perceived a situation in the way that confirmed what we thought happened rather than what really happened. Our memory does not store information as exactly as it's presented to us. And that may come as a shock, but it does not. Instead, we extract the gist of the experience and store it in a way that makes the most sense to us. In other words, we have our own filter. That's why different people witnessing the same event can have different versions. Our brain is built in with confirmation bias. That means it stores information that's consistent with our beliefs, our values, and our self-image. This, in effect, is a selective memory system. We need to recognize that our memory doesn't always provide us with accurate information. For example, if we lack confidence, our brain tends to store and filter information that confirms the lack of confidence. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. And I'd like to read from the New International Version, Proverbs 18, verse 13. It states, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. This is where we need to hear a matter out, to check with others we trust to see if our memory or what we perceived is correct. Go back to point two, where it talks about surrounding ourselves with confident, uplifting people. We can deceive ourselves. Our emotions can distort the facts. Our emotions can taint our memory. We need to be sure that we are dealing with facts rather than our own filtered, biased version of the facts. We have to recognize that we are shaped by our environment, the way we were raised, the situation we find ourselves in now, and it can distort how facts are viewed, and as well as how those facts impact us. And it can destroy confidence from others having confidence in us and us having confidence in ourselves. In this message today, we discussed confidence, the confidence we have in God, and the confidence we should have with others and with our own ability and talents that God has blessed us with. We've discussed four ways to build confidence in our lives. First, accept the fact that at times we will all experience failure, and we need to learn from the situation, and we need to move on. Second, we should surround ourselves with confident and uplifting people. Third, we should avoid comparing ourselves with each other. And finally, don't confuse memory with the facts. It should also be noted that any confidence we place in others or things of this world, in the confidence and the talents we've been blessed with, ultimately should flow from our confidence with God. Ultimately should flow because of our relationship with God through prayer, through God's Spirit guiding us in our lives. Why? Because the things of this life can be uncertain, but with God, all is certain. It is because of confidence in God that we can open ourselves to the risk of trusting others. We realize that others may fail us, but their failures need not rock our sense of security because of our confidence of God in our lives. It's because we have confidence in God that we understand our purpose and the talents we have been blessed with are a blessing from God. We may fail, but then we pick ourselves up and learn from our mistakes. And all along the way, God is there helping us in our journey. Indeed, the way we live our life, living a life of convicted civility, is a matter of confidence. I would like to conclude with Proverbs 3:26, no need to turn there, where it states, "For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught."